Father, thank you in Jesus' name that, again, we are so loved and so graced. Lord, blessed beyond measure. Lord, thank you that, again, your grace causes us to awaken, Lord God, to the grace and the mercy and the beauty of the relationship and the depth of it that you want to take us to. And Lord, how you've already prepared the way. And God, thank you again for this plan, the marvelous plan, the bride for your son. Lord, stir our hearts richly in it, God. Get us just a little bit more quickened today. God, let us again just feel the feathers and those wings begin to flutter upon our backs. God, let us just get ready to take a flight, God. Oh, Lord, to meet you in the air, that's it. There's nothing else, God. As Brother Paul said, if by any means I might attain to that. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because it's just love. We are just so overwhelmed by your love. Lord, have your way. May you be magnified. God, encourage us. Every life here this morning, Lord, let them know that they are greatly loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bibles today to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it's so sweet. The Lord has prepared through singing and everything. What the Lord's placed upon my heart this morning, which is prophecy. And specifically thinking of the prophecy of the Lord's day. The Lord's day. It's known as the end times and different things. But I think as the word of the Lord tells us, and especially as Brother Paul brings out, the day of the Lord. I love that in Revelation. The day of the Lord will begin at the moment of the trumpet blast. Now there will be a trumpet blast, but most won't hear that because it's the sound, it's the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. It's the voice of the bridegroom. And that voice will say, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That is that trump blast. Praise God. Now, most will not hear that. Most will not be in tune for it. Because as the word of the Lord says that there is a sleep that comes upon the church. At that time, there is a rib portion. There we go, right back to the very beginning with Adam. The wife was taken out of his side. God didn't take dirt again and breathe into it to make the bride for Adam, his wife. No, he caused a sleep to come upon Adam. And then the bride was taken out of his body. And it was a rib portion, a portion closest to the heart. Praise God. That wonderful pierced side, the rib, as Jesus was crucified upon that cross. Thank you, God. And it is of that rib that the Lord took out and made for him a wife. And that's the time that we are so near to, because the sleep is on the church. There is very little encouragement right now looking and loving the appearing of the bridegroom. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate however Christ is preached. But today my heart is encouraged to warn each and every one of us. Without Paul's gospel, you will never see prophecy rightfully divided. You'll never see prophecy in its right place, its right order, or even its right meaning. Oftentimes what happens when ministers speak prophecy without the knowledge of Paul's gospel, it leads God's precious people away from being ready for the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. It leads God's precious people away from being ready for the first trump rapture. That prophecy, that meeting in the air. In the air. You see, most of the prophecy that's preached today regards the events and the happenings that the Word of God speaks of. But the events and the happenings that happen after that first trump. After the bride is taken. The multitude of books that are written today, that so many spend so much time on,
and I'm talking about Christians, are events, brothers and sisters, about earthquakes and wars, events on thoughts. Who is the Antichrist? When is the great revival? It's going on right now, they say. And then, how about, let's see, Israel right now is turning to God. And no, they're not. They're not. These are all wonderful and incredible things that the Word of God says that will happen. But brothers and sisters, they are going to happen after the bride is taken. Brothers and sisters, these are the things that the innumerable company, the ones that will wave palms before the throne, that is what they're caught up into. I thank the Lord for every bit of that. I rejoice. I'm grateful to God. I can see that time in my heart of when that will be. But by the grace of God, I want to be in the place in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. And matter of fact, as the word of the Lord says, ruling and reigning jointly together. And if you go into Revelation, it's amazing that the Lord, when he begins to roll out these things and all of this judgment, there's these seven angels with him. There's these four living ones that are with him. And it says that they carry out these things with him. And they take even the bowls of wrath and they pour them out upon the earth with him. By the grace of God, that's the place I want to take with him. As she sang, isn't that wonderful? Are you taking that walk with him now? Does he minister these things to you as your soon coming bridegroom? Oh, honey, what we're going to do on our honeymoon, you can't even imagine. What did he just say? Go back to the Song of Solomon study and you'll read about a honeymoon that the bride will have with him. Matter of fact, that honeymoon starts right there, kind of kicks off. It's known as the tribulation. There's lots of suffering, but I'll tell you what, when he's being magnified as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he takes the throne as God. Remember we spoke about that Father's Day last week? Oh, there's going to be a glorying that's going to begin that will never, ever end. See, where are you seeing these things from? See, everything's perspective. Everything's perspective. And see, by the grace of God, we have a message, amen, that was brought by the Apostle Paul. Amen. It's a gospel. And it's gospel of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a gospel that's spoken very clearly of throughout the Word of God, especially in Romans 8:19. Right through that wonderful 8th chapter, it tells you that as the children of God, we're born of God. And we are heirs of God. Every child of God is. But it didn't stop there. It says, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that word joint heirs, sunkleronimus. It's not one of the dinosaurs. But sunkleronimus is one of the most amazing words in the Word of God. It means joint heirs as husband and wife. So joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ, if so be we suffer together with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. And that's magnified with him to the same glory. How can that be? A God who is rich in mercy in his great love, wherewith we are loved. How much do you want to see? Where is your perspective? Is your perspective waving a palm in front of the throne, saying, salvation to my God? I thank the Lord for any bit of that. But there was more. He so loved, he ascended to the right hand of the Father to send us the Holy Ghost. I sent him to you. I sent him to you to lead you into all truth. That you could know me in this way. He's the only one that can minister the bridal message to you. Taking all the things of Christ and making them yours. He's that messenger, just like when Abraham wanted that bride for his son Isaac. You go get her. She'll meet you at the well. What if I don't find her? You'll find her. And there she was sitting. And she sat long enough and was still long enough to hear a proposal. Honey, there is a young man, the ruler of it all, that's going to have a wife. And honey, I believe it's you. And let me tell you a little bit about him. And within so many hours, she already had the bracelets on and the earrings he'd put on her. And she came home. And all she could do was tell her family, oh, this is what I was told. Well, that's wonderful, honey. And you say you have to go? Well, we understand that. But you know what? Why don't you stay with us just a little bit longer and we'll talk about these things. And, you know, you're going to miss us and all. And she said, oh, no, I got to go now. Because the Holy Ghost says, we're leaving. And she said, I will go. I pray that grabs you. Because that's what this is. And when you hear the whole counsel of God, if you'll just be still. And allow your hardened heart to be broken. It'll change everything. But if you sit there and you keep deflecting it off, all I can say is, God help you. I can't get it. I'll just take the grace and go. Most prophecy preached today is about the events of the things that happen after she's gone. And brothers and sisters, we need to wake up, because I want to be in tune with the signs that the crown wearers know. You still got 2 Timothy there? Let's read from chapter 3. I don't know how he does it. I just kind of here for the ride. Praise God. Verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Here you go. Here's your signs of the bridegroom's arrival. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Man, is that rampant. Incontinent, that means out of control. Wow. If I turned on the TV for 4 minutes, that would be my definition. This thing is out of control. Fierce. Whew. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying Jesus Christ. That's the power. Do you know that? How many times do you ever hear the name Jesus Christ that's not taken in vain? It almost isn't. And it's very sad. Even the people of God, they're so insecure and ashamed that their prayers anymore, I appreciate God. I thank the Lord for Lord. But oh my, don't ever be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. And they're creeping into houses here, brothers and sisters. And it might be your house. Don't let them creep in. Get them out of there. Get them out. Don't entertain it. Don't enable it. Get it out. For of that sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. That's anything. Causes, principles. This is what I feel. Is our life the word of the Lord, or is it what you feel? It's time to lay it down. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. Always something new. And it's been something new. It used to be every decade. Now it's like every week. And it's disgusting. Because we know better. Because we're unthankful. That's where it all starts. Go back to Romans 1. They quit praising God. They quit glorying God, and neither were they thankful. And when you're unthankful, you've lost it all. Man, I love when he comes down. It's awesome. I'm shaken. It's good. Listen, listen. Going over to chapter 4, right across the page, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Amen. Amen. There's one truth. There's one way. There's one God. There's one Lord. There's one Savior. There's not all these paths. Quit being a fool. Amen. And quit entertaining fools. Amen. Amen. I don't care how close they are. Are they closer to you than God? Could they ever love you in any way, shape, or form like your Savior? It's time. It's time. Itching ears for anything but sound doctrine. Brothers and sisters, we are in that time. We're in the time of the love of many that has waxed cold. And remember, in order to have loved, it had to be God. And I'm talking about people that have loved great. But their love is waxing cold. The time, as it says, where silly women are led away. That includes you men too. It's a saying. It's a thing. But most of all, it's because they have a disdain for sound doctrine. See, we're not wrestling flesh and blood. It's principalities, it's spiritual wickedness in high places. This is it. You know, we're not, this isn't, you know, the prelims. We're in it. And really, not to be contrite here, but you're in it to win it, I hope. Huh? Didn't he say you're more than conquerors through Christ who loves you? I love that. I'm more than a conqueror. What's that? In Christ. It's already done. You just walk. You walk in what's already been completed. On that cross, everything was defeated. Done. It is finished. Oh, hallelujah. The Father so pleased. My Son finished it all. Oh, and I saw it before the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There was no stopping that love. Never, 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 never. But see, these are the signs here, brothers and sisters, that are recognized and seen by those that will meet the bridegroom in the air. Do you see this? It's not that I'm just affixed on it, but these are the signs. It's not all of these other things. See, the first trump rapture is a meeting in the air. 99.9% of every Christian you'll meet. Well, when the Lord returns and, you know, he's coming to, when we'll see him. Yeah, he will come like that too. But I want to see him in the air. If you have a heart that is looking for the revival right now. If you have a heart, and I mean this, I love prophecy by the grace of God. It's just the word. And I love the prophecy that will happen throughout the tribulation and throughout the millennium. You know, it's wonderful stuff. I love Israel. Yes. It's wonderful to even see little things happening. But when my whole obsession is affixed on Israel, and I think that, oh, they're turning to God right now, and the revival is happening right now, and I just get beside myself because of the apostasy that's going on in America right now, I'll assure you, you will miss it. I'll assure you, because the Word of God says that. Because you're distracted. You're going to be led down things that are distracting you. The meeting with the bridegroom is spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. And brothers and sisters, it says it's like a thief in the night. You ever had a thief in the night come into your house? Yeah. I remember I come in one night. My parents were already sleeping. Walked in the room to say goodnight to them. You know, my dad was, and I looked over there, and his pants that were always hanging on a chair, they were thrown on the floor, and the room, and the drawers were all riddled through, and it was not even about maybe 11:30 at night. I said, Dad, Mom, somebody came in here and robbed you. I went back to my room, was across the hall. Whoever that person was, opened that window, took that screen off, came right into there. And not even 2 feet from, 3 feet from him, took his wallet right out of his pants. And he never knew that happened. Till it was too late. Like a thief in the night. Now, you go into that section of scripture and you'll find that it's talking about the thief in the night to ones that are sleeping. Now, people that don't really understand the Word of God say, well, see, them sinners are sleeping. No, sinners are dead. A dead person's not sleeping. See, in order to sleep, you actually have to have life. And that was like the sleep that came upon Adam. That sleep. There's a great sleep. It's almost like a coma right now. In the house of God. I'm not talking about his house, but you know what I'm saying. In many churches today. And but for the grace of God, we would be there too. But see, is the word of God given the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. And to be quickened in these things. But see, that sleep is coming on. And that thief in the night. And that's the majority of the Christians that are sleeping right now that are going to miss the meeting in the air. The out resurrection that Paul speaks of there in Philippians is a small company of believers. It's rare. It's not to rock around and say, oh, I'm special. But I thank the Lord, praise God, it's there for all. He said, I would that all men, that's every man that's ever been born, all men be saved. And come to the full knowledge of the truth, what we're talking about today. It's there for everyone. And God intended that for everyone. Or he would have been a respecter of person. Yeah. Kind of hits you. But brothers and sisters, that little bride rib portion company is going to come out from the body. It's going to come out from the majority of Christians today like a thief in the night, and she's going to be taken away. Yeah. Just like with Eve, just like with Rebecca, just like all of these Gentile brides that everybody overlooked and discarded and all of that, I want that one. I got to have her. She's just ravished me. Nobody understands her, but I do. That's what the Lord says about you. You know that. But see, brothers and sisters, the moment that the bride is taken, that's when the tribulation begins. That's the beginning of what we know as the Lord's day. See, the Lord's day begins at that day. Amen? That day goes all the way through the 7 years of the tribulation. And then that day keeps it going all the way through the millennial time too. You mean a day could be 1,007 years? I believe the word of the Lord said, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. It's amazing how smart the Bible is, isn't it? It's incredible. You know, people try to say, oh, see, I got you there. It's like, oh, that's so foolish. Don't go there. Because if you really understood the word of God and would just read it and just know that even from the beginning, I still marvel all the time. When he said back there, what, that probably 600 BC or 700 when they wrote that? His thoughts towards me are more than the sands of the sea and the stars in the heaven. I was thinking about your sweet son out there. I was just thinking about Brian walking along that beautiful beach there in Mexico. And the trillions upon trillion pieces of sand. And they would see those things. How in the world did they ever see that there were that many stars in heaven as were on that beach? You'd never say, you'd say, there's no comparison. There's so many more sand particles. But now the scientists know today there's far more stars in heaven than there are sand particles. And you know how they saw that? The word of the Lord. And that's just one little tidbit. This is wonderful, brothers and sisters. It really is. See, the Lord's day begins with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Those of the Philadelphia church that are alive and awake, they are the ones that will be spared from even going into the tribulation. Yes. See, most of what's preached today is that, well, we're just all going to go into the tribulation. We'll all go through this. Or everybody goes out before. But that's not true. The rapture, if you will, there'll be every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, but then those that will be taken after him, they'll be taken in different companies. It's very clear throughout the Word of God. It's very clear in Revelation. But see, they just want to just, well, we'll just kind of roll over that and, okay, we're done. That's good. Revelation is kind of hard to understand, but it's really not. It's not. By his Spirit. It's not because I'm intelligent, because I'm not. No. But I'm wise in God. And I'm getting wiser all the time by the grace of God. But see, what it says in Revelation 3, stay in this now. This is good. Revelation 3, 9 and 10. Actually, let's go to 10 and 11. I could go back to the first verse and we'd have a good time, but never mind. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That hour of temptation translates the tribulation, the 7 years. This is speaking of the Philadelphia church here. This is the church that is spared. These are the company of believers that are abiding in first love. They're looking for this. They're not looking and consumed with all the events of this world. They're consumed with one event. My bridegroom's going to call me away. So he says there, because thou hast kept the word. Notice it's the word. It didn't say do all this, do all that. It's just the word waiting for me. I love you. I'm coming for you. That's the word of my patience. I want to marry you. That's the word of my patience. Do you understand that? You got to wait for that. And I'll tell you what, you got to wait patiently and wait in the word, because you begin to look at yourself and you can say, oh no, he's never going to come for me like that. But then I look at grace and then I know what it does. That's the word of patience. I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all them, the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Think of that. You know you can't lose your salvation. Then what is he telling you to hold? What could you lose? The passion for this bridal message. That's what's at stake. We have been graced to hear this for decades and decades. Where are we? Am I holding it fast by the grace of God? Wake up to the word of God and what it says. This is so plain. This is cookie on a shelf. This isn't hard. If you're going to take a smidgen of the word of God, take it all. Come on, don't be a hypocrite. Take every bit of it. This is it. This is what's being offered. This is what we have. This is why it's wonderful. This is the first love abiding. This goes back to that Jewish bride. Yes. It's tradition. It was wonderful. They were married, but he went to prepare a place. He might come back months, years later. He was always going to come with his friends, and it was kind of a goofy deal, but they would come usually in the middle of the night to get her. And what the tradition was is that woman would always go to bed with her clothes on, with her bags packed, that she was ready to roll when he came. This is no coincidence. This is what this is. God set it all up. Look at your own families. Look at how he has a child that grows up. What does every parent want a child to grow up? To really, truly, I mean it. To find that mate. To have that family. To love one like that and to have that one to love them. It's all there. My goodness, brothers and sisters. See, she only has him on her mind. She's not encumbered with anything but his coming. Ones with no bridal vision, you know what you're consumed with? Politics. That's a disease. Stop it. God puts up whom he will and down whom he will. Oh, he's the devil, and every 4 years we got a new devil. Stop it. Every 4 years we got a new hero. Oh, there's Superman. Stop it. Oh, please. The devil's making a fool of you. A fool. And you're a son of God. And all it does is it divides. It divides us. It divides our households and all of that. And it's stupid. It's stupid. We're one. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew nor Greek. And there's neither male nor female in him. What could be divided? Well, I'll go out and find something because I'm stupid. Stop it. This is godly anger. I'm angry. I'm angry at us. It's hurting our families. It's hurting our relationships. Who are we? We're of God. We're born of God. We're sons of God. We're one. We're the body of Christ. We're one body, many members, but it's one. And here we are. We're just going to tear it up, tear it down. And I'm just going to tell you, because I see it every time, because we got a new 4 years. And we got a new 4 years. And we got a press, and we got a this. And we got all of this stuff. Who's feeding all that? It's just the enemy. You're not of here. Your citizenship ain't here. Quit fighting. Quit fighting God. You fight a good fight of faith, but quit fighting God. You'll never win. You're ruining your life. You're ruining your life. You're ruining your household. You're missing the forever relationships that you could be enjoying right now. But you just got to be stupid. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I love you, family. Stop it. Those that dwell with the thoughts of those things of politics and world events and causes to change the world to make it a better place, you're dwelling in the thoughts of the kingdom age. You're about trying to do a revival. Let me tell you something. That doesn't please God. What pleases God is being about His will, and His will right now is the church and the bride. That's His will. That's His focus. That's what He wants. Not the great revival or the temple in Jerusalem. That will be. But that mindset, I'm so sad. You'll be waving a palm before the throne. Why do you want to do that? I don't want to be part of the innumerable multitude. I don't. It would be the greatest honor, in a sense, you could ever have. But it's not. I want to honor Him. I want Him to be fully honored. He died for me to have that. Yeah, He did. He sent the Holy Ghost, praise God, for me to get it. And He's praying for me, praise God, to hold it. And I thank the Lord. He's waiting for me to share it. Isn't it wonderful? Now, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. We're going to go on by the grace of God following Paul as he followed Christ. By the grace of God, we're going to feast upon the strong meat. And then we'll have an ear that is always ready to hear that voice. We'll live alive and we'll be ready for a flight. Let's go on abiding, loving His appearing. Let's quit looking for the acts of God. We know what happened to those that looked for the acts of God. Let's know the ways of God. Let's know the ways of His love. Let's really know the way into the arms of the bridegroom. Amen? I love you. I really do. And I thank the Lord. But He's chastening. And He chastens His sons. Amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, You're so mighty in Your love. Your witness to us. Lord, we are loved. Cause Your beloved to awaken to it. We give You the praise and oh, the thanksgiving, Lord. And even so, come quickly, sweet Jesus. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.